What's up, guys? Welcome back to Movie Schmovie.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Episode 31, huh?
31.
We're making it. We're making
31. It. What's the relevance of 31? 31 flavors. Baskin-Robbins.
Oh.
I'd always wanted to try all 31, but I think there's more than 31 now.
Really?
I always see random flavors in there.
I've actually never even... I play it safe. I get the basics.
Which is?
Chocolate.
Chocolate, vanilla.
Vanilla.
Say strawberry. Chocolate.
Chocolate.
Chocolate, okay.
You thought I was...
Some people say like a C-H-A-W, like chocolate.
Chocolate.
Or C-H-A-L-K, chocolate.
You know what makes me uncomfortable when say wallet?
Wallet?
My wallet.
I don't know anybody that says that, except for you now.
I know several people that do it.
Okay.
Wallet.
Well, that's a... I will
or
take that up with
that
them.
Pronounce V's with F's, like Virginia. Have you never heard that?
Virginia. I know what you're saying there.
Virginia.
Yeah, those are obviously personal problems that they need to work on.
Pet peeves.
Yeah. So yeah, we're glad to be back. It's been a little bit.
Oh yeah. Hello again.
We're kind of struggling a little bit to kind of keep a normal routine here.
Life. But guess what? We prevail.
Make it happen.
We spit in life's face.
A late night evening right now recording
this.
We can do it. In our basement.
Yeah.
So basically, we're going to kind of get back on the track of our normal format, you know, where we have a little bit of a small discussion beforehand, talk about a feature film and some DVDs. So we're going to start the episode off and talk about our Mighty Minute Breakdown this week. I'm going to throw out something that I came across this past week. It's a website called GoWatchIt.com. It's a new web service. It's in its beta stage right now, so it's still kind of being tested out. But basically what it is, it's a one-stop shop for you to be able to track films that you want to see, whether it's a movie that you saw and you want to saw again, or to see again, or it's a movie saw and saw too.
I definitely want to saw it again.
You want to saw it again.
Yes.
But yeah, so basically, if you want to see a movie that just came out, or you saw it already and you want to see it again, you can add it to a queue. And the great thing about it is that it's a one-stop shop, that it's a comprehensive collection of Amazon Instant Video, iTunes, Vudu, movies that are in theaters, Netflix, indie showcase films, a lot of different streaming services that are online. You can add it to your queue from this one website and be able to track it. When it becomes available, like if you have an Amazon On Demand account, you can add it to that queue, and when it becomes available, it'll notify you.
Really?
Or if you want a movie, if you want to see a movie that's not in theaters yet, when you add it to your queue for in theaters, it'll notify you when it's playing in the theater near you, so you don't forget that you want to see it. It's a
really
cool website. I just signed up. I've been messing around with it this past week, kind of testing it out. It also integrates all the social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, all that good stuff. But yeah, check it out. It's GoWatch.com, and more to come on that. What do you got?
Mine is not quite as cool. I mean, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's cool.
Okay.
But it is the Apple Trailers app that came a couple months ago. So the reason why this is so cool is the trailers are in HD, 720p.
Okay.
And the rate that Apple puts up trailers is alarming, and they've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
And because the compression rates are becoming a lot better,
right?
You're getting amazing quality, and it doesn't take too long for it to load.
Yeah.
So check it out, Apple Trailers. It's one of my favorite apps because I watch trailers constantly.
And you just got a brand new iPad.
The new iPad. The third.
The Retina display.
Retina display. It looks incredible.
And I'm sure it looks amazing on that.
It does. So the combination of Apple Trailers and then adding things with GoWatchIt.com.
There you go.
You got yourself a tandem.
1-2 punch. That was a live sound effect that Ron just made out of his mouth. We did not have that queued up in our recording program. Only available for
Ronald's. That was like a cartoon wallet.
That's quality,
like
quality, bro. Quality.
Winding up their fist.
So yeah, that's our Mighty Minute Breakdown. So getting on to our feature review this week, it's a little film that Ronald brought to my attention a couple weeks ago. I'm not actually even sure when you initially saw it, but it's a film called Boy.
I actually saw it 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah. I was wondering, because I see that when doing research for this episode, I know that it came out in 2010 in New Zealand, and I mean, it's been kind of available, I guess, here online through different channels over the past couple years. It's finally kind of getting a U.S. release. Actually, now, it's kind of one of those films that, like a lot of movies that we talk about on here, kind of get rolled out slowly across the country by an independent studio, a distribution studio. You know, major cities like New York, Chicago, L.A., near us here in Baltimore, it's going to be playing in D.C. in the coming week. But yeah, I mean, a film that you brought to my attention and that we decided to kind of give a little love on this podcast because it is a small film.
Yeah.
But you want to tell our audience a little bit about Boy?
So Boy is a New Zealand movie. Is it what would you call the New Zealandish? New Zealand
or New Zealander?
I don't know what you call a native New Zealander. Okay, it's a New Zealand movie, and it's directed by he's done a couple films. Eagle vs. Shark is probably one of the most popular ones. He's done some shorts before that, but Taika Waititi. So this is an important film for a couple reasons. It basically focuses around the Maori people, also known as Kiwi people.
Yeah, I was thinking Kiwi when you were saying a native New Zealand. I was like, Kiwi?
Right, right.
But I don't know what the... Yeah.
So it is the largest group in New Zealand. They're beautiful people, brownish people, and they're basically indigenous Polynesian. So just right. Give you a perspective on where they come from. Taika, the director, is, interestingly enough, probably one of the most creative directors I've seen in a while. I mean, and the reason why I chose this film, the reason why I sought it out was because I'd heard so much about it. I saw Eagle vs. Shark, and I'd heard about this film, and then I decided to give it a chance, and some pretty amazing things came about from watching it. So
it's pretty crazy. This is the highest grossing New Zealand film
of all time, which is crazy.
It blows my mind because it's a really small movie. It's a small scale because it's such a human film. But obviously, a film made by, you know, a native, you know, Maori, Kiwi, like, it's just amazing because it's featuring all, you know, the people of the land. I mean, I can only imagine how embraced the film probably is based off of my love for the movie, seeing it just this past week, you know, 2 years after it comes out. I mean, I'm really excited to say, you know, be able to say it's coming out here, even in a limited release, because, you know, I love the movie. I gotta be honest with you. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It literally, it kind of gives me a little vibe of like a Wes Anderson film. Did you get that?
Yeah, I think that Wes Anderson and Spike Jonze and people like this have something really interesting in common. They really embrace the idea that, like, you can't, when you get older, you can't abandon the things that made you love life, which is kind of the innocence of the childlike innocence, the boyish charm that people kind of have, that kind of have this characteristic of, you know, this sort of story. So I think that's one of the reasons why I liked it, one of the big reasons.
So essentially, the story that we follow, basically it takes place in 1984, and we meet a little boy, you know, 11-year-old boy named Boy. And you know, he's basically obsessed with Michael Jackson, and Michael Jackson is not only the king of the world, but of his world, only eclipsed by his father, who, you know, basically lives in this child's mind as the ultimate male figure. You know, he has stories that he's made up about him serving in the war, being a samurai, knowing Michael Jackson or how he dances. You know, this guy knows how to live life in Boy's mind. You know, we meet Boy and his friends and you know, how his closest friend is probably a goat named Leaf. His younger brother, Rocky, who is an adorable little kid who thinks it's amazing to see the world through his eyes. Like, it's really kind of fun how the director works in these animated illustrations of how we feel like Rocky is seeing the world. This is a little kid who thinks that he has superpowers.
Yeah.
And, you know, his cousins and family members. But basically, the film takes place over the span of when Boy's grandmother leaves for a funeral, his father comes back to town, to the home, kind of out of nowhere, and this vision of his father, this version of his father that he's always had in his mind, is at first confirmed, I guess, in a way, and then and then kind of defeated and just shattered in another way. But that's kind of the film, you know, in a nutshell. I mean, that's what we're going through, is kind of seeing the world through his eyes and kind of experiencing expectations and how some of them are met and exceeded, and some of them are nowhere near being met.
It's one of those things where it's a realization that a lot of people have a lot later on in life.
Right.
And I guess what happens is there's an extreme role reversal, which happens. He meets this guy and then he realizes that he might be the more mature party out of the two of them.
Right.
And he realizes very shortly that the father's return isn't necessarily for him. It's for something totally different. and you start to find out what it is as the movie progresses.
Sure.
So the catalyst is sort of this idea that he wants to get to know his father while his father is kind of focused on something totally different. And he shortly starts to realize that maybe it's not what he bargained for, kind of right. meeting his dad in those in that capacity. So,
and his dad is played by
The director.
Yeah, weird, huh?
Yeah, very weird. And normally when that happens, it can be kind of a hindrance sometimes, the director being in the movie. You know, it kind of yeah. feels like it takes away from it. But this is one of those rare occasions where this, him being the lead, I mean, well, you know, the boy being the lead and then the father being played by the director is a good thing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I felt like the, it's Taka?
Yeah.
Taka, like, I think he actually did an incredible job playing the father. I mean, I think that when I first see him on the screen, from what, you know, from what boy has built it up to be for me,
yeah.
his the first introduction to the father when he pulls up in the car with his crazy horse gang and, you know, it's like just three guys, he looks cool. You know, he looks yeah. he looks kind of shady, but he kind of looks like he probably knows his shit and he's the guy you don't mess around with. And it's kind of like, you're like, oh, maybe this kid is right. Like, he's kind of got a seedy dad, but maybe his dad is like yeah. badass. But I think that the journey that we take with the father's name is Alamein,
yeah.
which is actually, I think that's actually boy's real name as well. I think, isn't it mentioned in the film that he's named after his father?
Yeah, he's named after his father.
I think he has an incredible arc in the film, you know, kind of coming in out of nowhere, you know, to see his kid, but not to see his kid. He comes back to look yeah. for a buried treasure he buried years before in a field by the house. And he goes through his own discovery, you know, throughout the film and seeing, you know, how he's not as bad as he thinks he is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he's not as cool as he thought he was, and he's not as protected as he thought he was, and his actions have consequences not only for his own well-being, but he starts to realize, I think, you know, the reactions it has, or the consequence it has on his kids.
Yeah.
You know, kids that he never really, I wouldn't say didn't care about, but that he kind of shunned. And we kind of, I really liked in the film the backstory about the mother, why the mother passed away giving birth to Rocky. And, you know, and that's obviously the fracture in this relationship is kind of what changed the father, changed life for all of them.
Yeah.
Obviously losing the mother, but I actually thought the father, just as much as boy, I mean, I almost liked seeing Alamein, like, kind of go through a transformation.
Yeah.
And I felt it for him. Like, I hated him. From scene to scene, I would hate him, and then I'd feel bad for him and, like, want the boys to, like, love their dad again. And
yeah, it was a cool, the weird part about it is, as we describe this, it sounds like it's a really kind of serious movie, but it's not. I mean, there are serious elements, but at the heart of it, it's really a comedy, like, weaved in with very, you know, some drama.
That's kind of why I felt like it gives me that Wes Anderson vibe. Like, yeah. I don't know, like, all his films have a lot of comedy, obviously. Yeah. A little more dry, you know, but those films have heavy tones to it as well. Like, I think about a movie like Royal Tenenbaums, and, like, there's a lot of heavy tones in that film, but overall, you'd say it's a comedy.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like this film is similar to that in terms of the subject matter is it gets kind of heavy at a couple points, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't say that it's a drama. I agree it's a comedy, but I think that the comedy is placed really efficiently because it's, like, almost place that point so it doesn't let you get too down on what's going on.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It keeps you almost in the mindset of boy. You know, I feel like the kid sees the world, or even like Rocky, like he sees the world in a different way than you or I see the world day to day. You know, even when crazy shit's going on and bad things happen, you know, you almost, I don't say make excuses for them, but like you see the silver lining,
yeah.
even when there maybe isn't one. And that's the comedy in the film, and there are some definitely really funny parts in this movie too.
It's not dismissive of the idea that life can be really, really fun, but there's some real serious things that kind of warrant the behavior that people kind of have. Like, some of the funniest people are some of the saddest people.
Absolutely,
because they're hiding things and kind of compensating for voids. And you start to realize that Boy and Rocky and his father all have things that they're kind of like, you know, sort of aching about. And their humor and their imaginations are things that kind of drive them. And I don't know, this is really weird. I actually watched TED Talks with the director.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very apparent. I know it's a weird thing. He didn't talk about anything really negative during the course of the entire thing. But you can tell that some really hard times kind of fell upon this dude. And
yeah,
like, creativity is the thing that kind of drives people like that. You know what I mean? Kind of keeps them afloat.
It's yeah. Weird. No, I would agree with that. I mean, I think that most people that you see in film or in the industry or even in our personal lives, friends that we have, like some of the most creative people we know are people that have had bad things happen to them or have had to cope with bad things happening around them.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? And it's kind of like it's a shelter for a lot of people. You know, the things that you can't control are out there, but the things that I can control are the creativity, the imagination in my mind.
Yeah.
And that's where I think a film like this comes out of. You know, it's amazing to me that, you know, in looking up stuff for this film before we recorded, that this film started really like in 2005, you know, back as just an idea. And it's really cool to like, when I used to work for a film studio, they always used to like talk about at the Maryland Film Festival about the Sundance Writing Labs. Mm-hmm. And like where filmmakers up and coming, you know, they can take them to these labs and they get submitted and accepted and they kind of workshop these scripts with established screenwriters. And it's amazing to me, you know, because I'm looking at the list of people that he was able to work with, like Frank Pearson, Susan Chalidet, David Benioff, who is a very, you know, established screenwriter. Yeah, if you've seen like the Game of Thrones TV series, he did that. He's also a novelist, but he did like 25th Hour, Troy, The Kite Runner.
Wow.
He's established. And I think that it's cool to see that this film was stuck with. Like, I think it's all worth it.
Yeah.
You know, a film that started 7 years ago, you know, in a Sundance writing lab, just being workshopped, you know, moved along slowly, but initially, you know, it started as just an idea at a workshop. And I like that. I loved reading that. And then, you know, through the production, he coming out in 2010 in New Zealand, or even reading that the young boy who plays Boy, James Ralston, like, wasn't supposed to be that character.
Like a last minute.
He was like an extra. Yeah. And then, you know, Taka at one point just realizes this kid that I have cast as Boy is just not going to work.
Yeah.
And he sees this kid on the set and just like, that's Boy. You know, like, I just love seeing that kind of thing. And watching this film, you can see that it was like the perfect storm. It came together eventually. And it was for a reason. I mean, it's a really great film, a lot of heart and, you know, a lot of just genuine humor. You know, I love the little brother, Rocky. I just think Rocky's he's
super
adorable.
Yeah.
All the shots of like him, like when he thinks he's like using his superpowers to like knock a man over and, you know, just knock things off the wall or whatever it was, is super genuine. And the heart of it is, I mean, I think when you mentioned that they're, you know, all three of those main characters, that the two boys and the father, you know, are dealing with that fracture point. And I think it all comes back to that mom.
Yeah, yeah.
You definitely. Know, like, because she died giving birth to Rocky. So Rocky has a sense, like, that's where, like, the superpower idea comes from almost. Like, he's like, I killed my mom, you know? Yeah. It's like, it's heavy stuff. But it's fun because he's like, he thinks he's a superhero.
Yeah.
He's a superhero. Yeah. And, you know, and Boy kind of, not so much, I don't think, blaming it, but, I mean, noting, because he was old enough to remember it, that's the point that Dad stopped caring, you know, when he lost Mom. And obviously the father losing the person you love the most is, I can only imagine how that feels. So, I don't know. It's sad.
It is.
But it's really sad. Important to know that, you know, the bright spots are what get people through. And, I mean, through the discovery of this film, it's what gets these characters through. And this is a great movie.
Great movie.
I don't know what the deal is with in terms of like how far it's going to go. I guess it depends how much money it makes, but it's one of those tragedies also that, you know, a lot of people probably won't see this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, please, I don't know, what else would you say?
I mean, yeah, definitely see it. I think that he reminds me a lot of Richard Ayoade.
Yeah.
Just,
you did it.
I did.
You said it right.
I tried.
I'm so proud of you.
I rehearsed that like 10 times in my head. Just the idea that like he wants art to speak for him and not him. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, any interview I've ever seen with either one of those guys, very shy, very like, see the movie, don't worry about it, don't worry about me, just see it. I kind of like that sort of thing where you want your art to speak for you.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, this guy's in Green Lantern. But
yeah, he's like the roommate slash best friend of Ryan Reynolds.
I mean,
but, you know what? You gotta pay the bills.
Right.
You gotta pay the bills so that you can make your own little movies like this, I guess.
So hopefully, I already was like shopping around some more stuff.
And yeah.
Hopefully we get to see him some more. You know, sometimes that stuff, the momentum takes a little while.
Right.
And I think this is one of those movies. If people keep talking about it, it'll be one of those movies.
It's one of those cult films. I feel like even though it's getting a theatrical release, it's going to be something that most of us and, you know, most listeners, the average viewer, is probably going to have to seek out on DVD or like on Netflix or something like that when it's be available. But definitely a great film. I'm so glad that you mentioned it. You know, so thank you for doing that because I loved it.
No problem, man. I'm glad you got to see it.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of it, and I definitely plan on watching it again. And boy, is rolling out in theaters now. And if you're not able to see it, you know, in the next couple months at theaters, be sure to keep an eye out. Go to gowatchit.com and add it to your queue so you can know when it comes out DVD.
Right.
You'd think I'm being paid by them or something, but nah, I just think it's pretty cool. So we're going to move on to our DVD quick picks. I'm going to jump off with a film that I really wanted to see in theaters, and I don't know what the hell happened, but I just dragged my feet and never saw it. Mm-hmm. And it's The Muppets. The 2011 release, Jason Segel, Amy Adams.
Jason Segel.
God, so many cool people. Chris Cooper's in the film, Rashida Jones. My man Dave Grohl has a cameo in there.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Galifianakis. I don't know. It's just good times, man. If you remember The Muppets, if you like The Muppets, love The Muppets, you got to see The Muppets, the new film. So much fun. Brings back a lot of memories as a kid, seeing Kermit and Miss Piggy on the screen again. And Jason Segel, you love him. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's just so wide-eyed and perfect for the role. In The Muppets as Gary. I just think that it's on DVD now, and I'm glad I got to finally see it, because, I mean, I can't wait. I mean, this is cheesy, but I can't wait till I have kids and can show them Muppets.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's like, it's kind of, it's definitely gone the way of the buffalo, but it's like Disney's kind of bringing it back, I guess, with this film, and who knows if more gets made, but it's kind of cool to have a new Muppets movie that...
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it got incredible reviews, and I mean, it's got an amazing Rotten Tomato rating, and I see why. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It didn't make all the money that I think Disney was hoping it would make, but maybe on DVD. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the cool part about that is DVD. I mean, and digital downloads and iTunes and stuff like that, because it keeps films like this alive, and it's I've only seen a little bit of it, unfortunately. But the parts I saw the first hour or so was so good. I didn't get to finish it.
It's so different, though. You know, it's weird. Like, I was watching with my girlfriend, and, like, she really liked it, too. But, I mean, it's just, like, you have to have been pre-warned or something about the kind of show The Muppets was and is. You know, I feel like people, like, in today's society, like, seeing some of the animation movies coming out or even, you know, even some of the more just family live-action films... It doesn't fit into that mold as much, you know. Yeah. It's much more, you know, puppy dogs and unicorn feeling. Like it's so wide eyed and positive and optimistic. It's something that unfortunately, like a lot of stuff that kids see these days, like isn't anymore.
Right.
You know, it's so positive.
It's important though. It's really important that stuff like that still gets made.
It made me want to be a better man.
It made me.
Want to turn it off after an hour?
No, I was doing like 15 different things that day, which sucked. So I gotta sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
But
so what do you got? DVDs.
DVDs. Yeah.
Quick pick. What do you got?
My DVD quick pick is Silent House.
Okay.
The original, which came out in 2010. That was only
okay. So this is the original of the one that just came out.
Yeah.
Well,
did it come out yet? It's coming out.
No, the one with the other Olsen. Yeah. It came out already.
It came out already.
Yeah, it came out last week.
Okay, so the original is called La Casa Muda.
Muda.
And what makes this movie so great? It's presented like a one take movie. And what makes it so cool is it really appears to be a one-take movie. There are scenes where the camera goes in spaces that you didn't think a cameraman could take a camera. For example, there's a scene where the main character is in a car, and it follows her through the window, like as she opens the door, and it goes through the window continuously, as opposed to like waiting until she opens the door and going through with her. It's so weird. It's like a floating camera, mm-hmm. the way they do it.
Okay,
it's seamless. In the cuts, which you know there have to be cuts, are done at really really cool parts, like the lights going off, obviously. Or
it's natural.
Yeah, natural.
And is it in real time, like this one that just came out is? Like,
yeah, it's supposed to be done in real time. But I think this one is supposed to, like, the new one is supposed to document that stuff more. It's supposed to, like, pay attention to it more. But this isn't, you know, it's supposed to be seamless. It's done seamlessly, you know, but it doesn't say, like, oh, it's second after minute, this hour is this hour. But this, the new one's supposed to be taped like that. So, I mean, I don't want to give away anything about it. I think you should just go into this movie not knowing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Really. I think that it's really cool. Just go into it. Don't only know that it's about a house and a girl and her dad.
Right.
And it's a continuous shot. I mean, it's obviously a horror film.
Right.
That's all you should know. Go into it and watch it. That's it. And
is it on DVD, Blu-ray? What do you got?
It's definitely on DVD. You can find it on Amazon. I've seen it listed on Amazon. If you don't mind reading subtitles, which I think if you're over 10 years old and don't like to read, your dick.
Yeah.
I don't mean like whole novels, but a movie is just not that crazy. This is paced out enough that the subtitles wouldn't bother you.
Okay.
It's you know, the pace of it is slow enough.
Awesome.
But it's a good movie.
So we got Silent House, and then we also got Muppets.
Right.
On DVD.
One thing I want to say about this movie. There's like a 5-minute scene that's in complete darkness.
So just audio?
All audio, stereo, and it's like walking around, which sounds incredible if you have the right setup.
Okay.
So see the new one, and I'm pretty sure they probably have that same scene in it. If it's as cool as it was in the original, you won't be disappointed.
Wow, okay. So that's going to wrap it up. I mean, this is Lean and Mean. This is a short one.
Yeah.
But basically, wanted to throw out a little thing that we've been working on, or I've been working on, trying to get us into the Pinterest age.
Oh, Pinterest?
So we have we have all the pages, the Facebook, the Tumblr, you know, the moviesmovie.net, Twitter. Obviously, if you're not living under a rock, you know Pinterest is blowing up right now. We made a Pinterest account, pinterest.com/movieschmovie. We have the boards that are going to be posted on there. We're having the boards basically linked to our main page.
Yeah.
So if you're on Pinterest, definitely search for us. It's just movieschmovie. Follow our boards. If you'd rather read news on the Pinterest app, if you're on there all day while you're at work getting paid to browse Pinterest, why not just look at our news, watch our trailers, look at the posters, even listen to our podcast from Pinterest.
Yeah.
So, like I said, pinterest.com/movieschmovie. And as always, we have the movieschmovie.net site, mm-hmm. movieschmovie@gmail.com, and @movieschmovie on Twitter and the Facebook page as well. So there's not a reason not to reach out to us.
We are media heavy.
Yeah, we just need to get more networks. People on there.
Yeah, we will.
We will.
Slow and steady wins this race.
Yeah.
Or so.
So we're the tortoise. Yeah, okay. So it's going to wrap up episode number 31. Thank you guys for listening, as always. And you've made our day. Take care.
Bye.